Hey guys, I'm Paulina.
And I'm Sharifa.
It's your girl Teresa here, and we are the three. And we are the Fully Geek Ladies. Welcome to episode 4 of our pod. We made it. How you doing, ladies? Busy week. It was hot today. It was.
I hate summer. I don't like being hot. I hate it.
I was melting.
And you call yourself an African.
Oh, well, don't matter. I'm from England.
I was melting, man. It was serious.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And it was timely because I was able to watch Stargirl in the park. So, yeah, guys, I hope you guys all enjoyed the lovely weather. So today we're going to talk about a new DC series called Stargirl. We're going to talk about our resident program, I May Destroy You, and we've just got a little guilty pleasure segment for you, where we just let you know what we like to watch on the weekends to make us feel good, happy, and forget about the world. And yet, as always, we've got our What's Happening in This Week segment. So yeah, I hope you enjoy episode 4, and we are going to get into it.
Whoop, whoop. Thank you very much, Teresa.
Great. Did you say BBC, yeah?
Sometimes we've got to switch it up, you know? Right, so yeah. Stargirl, I am not going to lie, I did not have the chance to watch it, so I'm going to give it over to Sharifa, who is the one who suggested it in the first place. Please tell us what it's about, and we'll get into it.
Well. So Stargirl, you know, I like my fantasy stuff. So Stargirl, as T has mentioned, is a DC Universe series based on a DC comic. So it's kind of an American superhero teen drama, basically. So it's about a teenager called Courtney Whitmore, who's discovering herself as a superhero. If you have watched it, I personally liked it generally. I feel like it's a relaxed watch. It is predictable, I won't lie. I was able to predict every moment of it, but it was a little fun watch. It wasn't my deep DC type of shows. Was that Paulina?
Is it like she gets bitten by a spider, and then all of a sudden,
So basically, her mom is with. So her stepdad.
Don't give it away.
Yeah, I'm trying
just
to.
Just a little premise about telling me.
Okay,
too much.
So her stepdad and her mom are moving just together to a new town. Yeah.
Okay.
She finds
and
something.
Her dad has passed away, so she finds something, and then that thing decides to work for just her. It never worked in the past, but it's now working for her. So she just takes it for a run, and yeah, she kind of discovers her powers, if that makes sense, without giving too much away. It's based on the Justice Society of America and the Injustice Society of America, which are the villains. So it's just about making the teenage JSA. Yeah.
JSA.
Yeah, I know, that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, just because of
that. I am going to run to watch the show. It sounds great.
No, the Justice Society of America and the Injustice Society of America, right. The villains. It's supposed to be very teenager-like.
It's so supposed to be. It
if you
so...
think it is. Okay, not even supposed to be. It is. So if a teenager was to watch this, they would love it. Like, teenage
really?
Me.
Teenage
me.
12, 13,
19. No, I think 16. I think it is about 16. If 16-year-old me, listen, I was watching Underworld and all sorts, yeah.
Yeah, but you're a different generation.
True. But I still think they'll like it in this generation as well.
Guys, I think 16-year-olds for
on
me,
Instagram. And that's all they do.
16-year-olds on Instagram, they are more interested in watching things that are way more mature for their ages than they are this.
Yeah, 100%.
I watched Stargirl because Sharifa was raving on about this.
I wasn't raving on.
Sharifa, I'm not gonna lie. You're like, oh, Stargirl. I was like, yeah, Stargirl.
No, because guys, these people, yeah, don't let me start bringing out our behind scenes. Yeah, we're sitting there thinking, oh, what's the next watch? Every day, what's the next watch? I was like, just watch Stargirl because it's there.
And it was Teresa, right. Everybody was like, this show.
Relaxed.
This
what?
Show. I watched Stargirl, and literally, I was sat there with my husband because my husband loves DC and Marvel and all that comics, basically. And I sat there in the first 10 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. This is what happened. That's what happened. And this is what happened. And what happened? Everything that I predicted, it happened.
I hate that as well.
And then I was just like, even my 5-year-old can watch this. You know what? I did, before I started watching it, I ain't going to lie, I did hate it because it was that typical American teenage drama kind of thing, and it looked it from the onset, but it does grab you. I mean, I ended up watching episode 2, but it's just like, okay, I'll watch this when I'm cooking, innit. I will literally be ironing, cooking. If I miss 5 minutes of it, I will know what's going on rather than what have I missed. It's not one of those things for me.
It's not it's literally a relaxed watch for me. I think compared to things that I watch like Doom Patrol and those type of things, it is a relaxed kind of watch. So I did enjoy it. It's so far as there's only 6. I do enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. It's a fun watch for me. I think it just, again, depends on what you're into. If you're able to, because I predict, even the deepest show, I predict. Gangs of London, I predicted. So I won't say because I can predict it, that means it's boring. Because all those shows, as much as I predict all of them, I still sit there watching it.
But you know what? As much as you can predict certain shows, and I completely get you, there are certain shows that you kind of have to, you won't predict it in the first 10 minutes. You kind of predict it, like, for example,
you know, you haven't met Sharifa, honey. I can predict from a title. Listen, my closest and dearest called me director.
We have Prophet Paulina, director Sharifa, and right now I'm just called T. Okay, interesting. I need to find what my name is going to be. Prophet Paulina, director Sharifa.
Yep.
Okay.
Where would you watch this for people who actually are curious about watching it?
It's on alternative platforms.
Yeah.
So if you find it, you can watch it. It's an American show, isn't it? So yeah, I guess at some point in life,
it will come
on normal terrestrial TV. Not that everyone has terrestrial TV because people have digital TV now, but you know what I mean.
But yeah, if you can't find anything to watch and you're into the whole fantasy stuff, it's an all right watch. It's an all right watch.
My 5-year-old watch it. It's not that scary. They don't have any bad words or anything like that. Nah. He's getting to that age now where he wants to watch more shows with adults rather than animation. So yeah, I think he'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he will.
Well, so shall we move on to my favourites? I May Destroy You on BBC One.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this week was... It was a break from last week for sure. Last week was the whole period stuff, wasn't it? Yep. So this week they touched on, I would say mental health aspect of abuse, as well as actually confronting the fact that she was raped twice, because with what happened with her, with the is it Zane? She didn't realize it was actually raped because he kind of gaslighted her. And that kind of helped her move on from it because he was aware of what he was doing, made her feel like, oh, it's nothing. I didn't mean to. I thought you knew. And then brushed it off. And then they were still continuing to see each other. So I appreciate the fact that they give an explanation to what certain things are. So I appreciated that. Another thing I didn't appreciate, and it's quite sad because obviously they highlighted it for a reason, is when Kwame went to the police because he realized that after going with... Arabella to the police, that it's good to report a crime, you can catch these people do get like prosecuted, etc. He then felt, okay, he can do it too if she's also been heard. So when he actually got the courage to go to the police officer, and it annoyed me that it was a male police officer who was not sensitive to the situation, wasn't trained to deal with the situation, fobbed him off, and then he just felt like, well, I'm not going to say anything more because I'm not going to be taken seriously. That upset me, and I wish that was a different scenario, but it does happen. That's why I guess they touched on it. So what did you guys think?
Well, firstly, I wanted to touch on the beginning of it where they did a flashback where it looked like she was having a flashback of sleeping with Biagio, but she was actually sleeping with Zane. So initially, when I first watched it, I didn't realize that. I just saw Zane lying on the bed, and I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." But then the second time I watched it, I was just like, "Oh yeah, it was." She was thinking she was sleeping with Biagio, but she was actually sleeping with Zane.
She was thinking about Biagio, I think.
Yeah, and I was a bit shocked that the fact that it just all went back to normal. I just thought it was a one night stand and that's it. They go their separate ways, but then they were actually getting into something. I don't know. I won't call it a relationship. But that flashback was a bit like, oh, okay. He's still in the picture. But I did, yeah, as you said, I did like the fact that this episode really highlighted on the mental health. And what I like the most is that, for me, I know it has its own title, but for me, I kind of call it the birth of Arabella, because when she storms, when she listens to the pod, and then she realizes that what he had done was actually an assault, her storming off in that t-shirt, taking her wig off and cutting her hair and showing the cheekbones that I love, I was just like, yes, like she wasn't that awkward, all over the place, just being risky, just all over the place girl. She was literally, I'm not letting this happen to me again. And that transformation for me was just, it was nice to see. Even though it was sad, it was nice to see. And as you touched on Kwame's experience, yeah, that really broke my heart, because I was like, it's like his experience, it's like, in a way, that police officer was saying, how could that happen to you? And the questions he was asking, it was a bit too much. There was no sensitivity in there. And then
I don't think he was taking it seriously.
He felt so uncomfortable.
That's what I mean.
He wasn't trained. He's not trained in the field.
But
that's
still,
a black man to black man being raped, that can't really happen. That's what his angle.
I kind of think, partly what you said, Paulina, in the sense that he wasn't trained in the field, but I also think that it probably highlighted the fact that subconsciously, maybe for him, he was probably a bit homophobic, because I got that sense from his portrayal. He was probably thinking, A, you're a man, and it's not typical for men to come out and say they've been raped, but you're a man who is a homosexual man. So for him, he was like, really? And you're black. So it's like, you know, there is that stigma in our community that you're not meant to be homophobic, or you know, and you're a man, so you should act a certain way. So this police officer's come in and he's seen this man who looks very manly in the society sense of words, and he's in there saying, this is what happened to me, and he's thinking, really, you? Okay, this is really, I can't deal with this. And the questions he was asking were just like, but it just highlighted the fact that there are so many discriminations, prejudices out there amongst the LGBTQ community, and just in
black,
not just the black community, but just in the sense of rape and consent in general. I think both episodes, and obviously we're going to touch on episode 6 later, I found them to be so informative. This wasn't an episode, these weren't episodes whereby you just sit there and watch it. I learned so much from watching both of those episodes. They were so informative. I loved, again, how we touched on it last week, how Michaela, she does that whole thing where she's letting you know information, but there's jokes in each of them. For example, if we go back to the policing, when they tell her, you know, you've got that was funny. But what made me laugh was when the police were like, oh, can you call Biagio and tell Biagio about it? And then Terry was like, you haven't called him still? She was like, no, sparkling. I was thinking, it took me, I'm not gonna lie, it was late. I was thinking two minutes. I was like, I get it.
I didn't get it.
Didn't you?
Wait,
still in sparkling water. Paulina.
She kept trying to cover Terry's nonsense.
No, but Terry kept going on and on and on. Like, it's funny. It's just like,
Whatever
my head.
At first, it took me a minute to think, what was going on there?
You still have it to Biagio still?
And she goes, no, sparkling.
Sparkling.
And
I haven't watched that because I didn't catch that at all.
And I think this whole episode, it just showed that she wasn't in denial, and I think her confidence was slowly coming back. And then when she listened to the podcast and she realized, hold on a minute,
that happened to me,
is this rape? Hence why when she went to the police station, she asked the police officers, oh, someone taking off your condom,
there's so many forms that people don't realize.
I didn't even know that if you're forced to perform oral sex on someone, obviously that's, I didn't know that's a form of rape. Yeah, it's not something that you want to happen to you, but I didn't know it's a form of rape. I didn't even know that taking off your condom in the middle, I just thought it's a consent issue, but because you've consented to the act, but you haven't consented to them remove to unprotected sex.
Yeah, you consent to doing it, and then they decide to do something different during, that is a form of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't know the violation.
Yeah. Yeah, so I, you know, I really, really learned about it, and it was just great. What I also loved about this scene is that, not this scene, this episode, was that when she realizes that...
Not Susie.
Ah. When she realizes that Zane has actually raped her.
Oh,
when she when she went to the combo. Yeah, exactly. When she was going painting with him, she was like, yeah, but... Do you not realize that Zane's a rapist?
I was dying.
And even when she went to meet Susie, and we'll touch, I want to touch upon her interaction with Susie in a bit.
That was lovely.
But even when she went to meet Susie, and they were sitting down, she's talking, so I was raped. And everyone's looking at her seriously. And then she was like, yes, I was raped by Zane.
I know his name, they've come to my house. I know everything, I know his name, and I know his name. Zane something something. Yeah. He goes, he's hot.
And then he's
like a flashback, but, because she threw it in so casually. That was like, did she actually say it to them?
But nobody, I don't know whether it's because she's so awkward that nobody batted an eyelid. They were just like, okay. And Zane, so I just really found that really weird that they were all sitting at the table, and he was just staring at her, and everyone's just staring at her.
Her features are so, like, she just looks so beautiful. So when she was doing that, and it was just like, so strict, I was just like, she was like, and his name is, and his name, Zane. Zane was shitting himself.
Can we talk about what?
She destroyed him. She did. I just loved it. I was like, yes, girl,
and
yes.
And destroy him.
Oh, yes, destroy him.
And I think she's had enough, because obviously whoever raped her the first time has kind of got away with it because they don't know who it is. So now it's happened to her a second time, and it happened to her so blase, while she gave consent
and then
they found the person that did it to her.
But
she doesn't know who it is just yet. They haven't arrested him, and this person, I don't know what the timelines are in the program, so this person is just walking around like laughing, so
possibly doing it to other people again.
Exactly. So right now he's got away with it. Or she, because you never know where this program was going to take you. However,
definitely a guy.
However, with Zane,
he's still there.
I'm not going to allow you to do this to me. But
I don't know how she's so friendly with him with it as well.
Susie's assistant, when they went to the writers, the script writers event, she did drop a hint that he had done something like that before. Mm-hmm. So again, for her, she was like, "Are you taking biscuit?" Like, really?
So it wasn't a one-off mistake. It's a thing that you've actually done before.
Like, that's, do you think behind the scenes, obviously they're showing us, they're showing the viewers what we want to see.
Yeah.
But when they said that Terry needed to read for her and then Terry got stage fright, do you think Terry got stage fright on purpose so that Arabella could go on? Or
was it a plan? I think it was authentic.
It was a plan.
You think it was a plan?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was at that moment.
No, but I think so she just felt. Yeah, I think she was nervous, but I think it was at that moment when she felt nervous and she was supposed to go on stage. I think the awkwardness and the nervousness just made her blurt it out and just said, you know what? If I just say it, that's it.
It was a planned thing because she was nervous. I do too. They all had their cameras out, and when he was trying to walk out, she was there with the cameras. They knew what they were going to do in that moment.
Yeah.
That's the plan of it.
I
don't think so.
I agree with Paulina, and that's why I asked the question, because as much as Terry, because the thing is, if she came on straight away, there wouldn't have been that impact of what happened in the end. And at the end, when Zane was trying to run away, Terry was so like,
They knew.
It could have been a case of, you know what, my friend has spoken out, so you know what,
I think it is.
But at the same time, there was something about the way the whole thing was orchestrated. I don't know. I kind of was thinking, is it a plan or is it not a plan?
Had Arabella discussed what Zane had done? We never saw them talk about it.
I don't think so.
That's why I feel like she's told her off scene, and then they've discussed it, and this is how they're going to reveal it, because she hadn't said it.
Because the thing is, I was a bit confused. You know, when she was exercising to go on stage, she kept cussing Zane. Was your cousin Zane or Terry?
Terry.
She kept saying, yeah, when she was,
yeah, she was like, look at him. Because yeah. they kept zooming into him.
So did she know? That's, they, so you're right.
They don't know.
Did she know?
I think they discussed it off scene, mm-hmm. and then they planned to reveal it this way and expose him.
Yeah, that's what I kind of think.
Maybe. Yeah.
That makes more sense. Because
now that you said that.
She would have been shocked. She would have known to get her phone out to record it and all of that stuff. So she would have been like, what's she doing? She's off script, but she didn't react to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the other girl.
I loved it.
The assistant. She was there ready with her phone as well. Yeah. So it's definitely something they spoke about.
No, but the thing is, everyone is already ready with their phone because they are at, an event. She came on stage, so everyone probably got excited that, oh, okay, she's coming. She's actually going to do her own reading.
No, the assistant, at the moment. The assistant was like this, looking to see before Terry went on stage. Like, I'm observant in that sense. Like, I pick up tiny things. And she went to see what was happening just before Arabella and Terry were behind backstage.
Because the thing is, we could actually just be reading too deep into it. It could be actually real. Yeah.
But do you know this also happened? This, Michaela actually did this in real life as well.
She exposed the person like that.
No, she didn't expose it. I don't know if she exposed the person, but she announced on stage that she was... abused at a
reading event.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Can we go back to when she first got into her office and she saw the woman? She's like, oh, head bitch in charge, but you're black.
But didn't you notice how she changed her tune as well? Because before she was like, I can't believe this. Arabella. Hi.
Black
and you know what made me laugh?
Power.
But she goes, I'll get one of my friends to read.
She's black.
And you know when she said she's going to ask one of her friends to read? And then she goes, wait. Is she educated on your level? Is she white? No. Okay, so we'll see you then. I was like, oh, wow.
I loved it. Susie was a bit like, okay, you're embarrassing me, kind of like. She wasn't like, oh, you're black too. It was more like, okay,
she was it.
I caught that. She was overexcited to see her, asking for a new book, asking for this.
Great. That's how she responded to her.
I kind of felt that it was more like, okay, great, but I need to just come and let's talk. Like,
I got the same vibes as T, to be honest.
We're here. It's like, you know, when you're in an office and there's like three of you and you're patting your hair and someone says, oh, your hair looks nice today, did you change your hair today? And you both look at each other thinking, fam, this is the same hair I've been wearing all week. Like, you can't really say that, but you'd be like, oh no, yes, I did change my hair. I loved it, and that for me was a nice it was a nice real thing, because at work, when there's not many of us, aka black people at work, and you meet another black person, depending on the type of black person you're meeting or depending on your personality, you're either that one that's going, yes, sister, or you're going to be like, oh, hello. And or the other person, I know my character, I'd be like, hey girl, how are you? What's your name? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then some people are reciprocative of that. Some people are just like, oh, you know, like, let's just pretend I'm not black, really. Hello, my name is Amar.
Yeah,
in Amar.
Amar.
My name's Amar. And you're like, oh, okay. Like,
you're one of those ones.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, exactly. But what is one of those ones?
You mean you're not white?
Okay. But I loved that. I really enjoyed. Like I said, I really enjoyed it because it was so informative.
With her transformation, it was good to see. It's good to see not the same Arabella we saw in episode one. Not saying there was anything wrong with it, but just seeing her transition. Seeing her transition, dealing with what she's been through. Because I was thinking, where is this going? You know, after her and the Zane incident, and she was just so blasé about it. I was like, where is this going? Are we actually going to see any growth in the trauma? Are we going to just see this for stumbling? And it's good to see that, look, and it's a good message for people that have been through it, that it wouldn't be in that same bubble forever. It's a process, so you will stumble, but you're gonna keep getting up. So it was,
however,
it was good to see.
It also highlights the people that you hang out with as well, and social media. So if I talk about social media generally, social media can be used for a good thing and a bad thing, but it can be, if it's used correctly, it can be very informative. So she learned something from the podcasts, and it was like, oh, okay, so that's highlighting if you follow certain, no, it's not even about if you follow certain people, but if you use social media in the right way, it can be to your benefit, and it could also be a detriment to you. also, when we talk about people and people that are around you, Biagio was not the person that she needed, or it's not the person that she needs in her life, because he literally didn't understand rape. He was because of who she was, because of how he, because how he met her. It was like, oh, you should be careful of your drinks. Why? That's why you're gonna get raped. He always in his head, she's the type of girl that's gonna go out, just be high on drugs, and therefore it's going to happen to you. She, Biagio, was one of those people that was like, oh, if you wear a short skirt, if you dress like that, that's what do you expect?
Just basically victim blaming, and that's
not good. And again, with Arabella's character, how she dealt with that, she internalized that pain and went straight back on social media. And again, that also highlighted the negative side of social media. She got off the phone with him, she let out her scream, she let out her cry, and then instantly she was able to block herself out. Then she started taking pictures.
That's what they meant
to the world. Oh, my girl's doing great. Mm-hmm. But really, she's not. And you know, that just highlights to, it should be a highlight to everyone, young and old, that not everything you see on social media is the truth.
Definitely. I felt like the Biagio scenes were quite like frustrating, because that's what a lot of victims are made to feel. Like, it's your fault if you weren't wearing a short skirt, if you weren't drinking, if you knew how to get home, if you were with the it's always like to blame the victim rather than the person that's done what they've done. That also highlighted that. It also highlighted a form of abuse to an extent, because of the way he was reacting to her.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think, part of me thinks it's that, and part of me thinks that he was scared because he's a drug dealer. So now the police are going to have to take his DNA. If they look into things, he might have done certain things in his past. So I think it's a mixture of, he was
and culture.
So it was a mixture of everything for me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think it was a really good episode, actually. So should we move on to episode 6? Because that, for me, was also very interesting. Because
I loved it so much.
Because, you know, for me, especially becoming a mum, I'm now talking to people I went to school with that I would never have spoken to. But because we've got the fact that we're mums in common, we are now talking to each other. But yeah, I got a bit ahead of myself. So let's actually start from the beginning of episode 6. So they've all gone to like a painting place outdoors or whatever. Mm. And then Terry's quite concerned about Michaela because she's on her phone the whole time. And she's literally speaking to Kwame, like, but about his situation. When she was talking to him, you could see he was getting emotional, because he's like, rough. She's actually saying everything I'm feeling right now, but because I haven't told anyone, I can't express it, so I'm just gonna just ignore her. So yeah, I thought that was quite emotional, actually.
Yeah, I think he's victim blaming himself. That's why he's not able to tell them, because she made jokes like, oh, Mr. Grind over here, and that's what his friends know him for, like going out and doing that type of stuff. So I feel like he doesn't feel like he's in a safe space to tell them, for some reason, which I feel like he just, if he told them,
it feels like no one would believe him.
Yeah, and they would be like, well, you knew this happened to Arabella. He's that's what I'm saying. I feel like he's victim blaming himself. He's playing all the scenarios in his head of why he feels like he can't, because he tells them everything. So why, do you get what I mean? So I feel like he's feeling like, are they really going to be there for me the way they are for Arabella?
Well,
He's seen Arabella getting all what he should rightfully get as well, but he's not telling them. So they don't know. So that's why he has this wall up. She's telling him and he's looking at her like, we're all like, he's thinking, I'm dealing with it. So boy, everyone better just deal with it. That's the kind of image I'm getting from him. So I don't know. What do you think, T?
Yes, I agree. And then a part of me also feels like he's probably thinking, well, if I bring up my issue, then he's taking the spotlight, because he's quite a charismatic character, isn't he? Then is he going to take the spotlight away from Arabella? Not that this is a spotlight thing to be taken away from, but he's probably, all the things you said I agree with, but then he's probably thinking to himself, well, I can't say, because then they're just going to think that I want attention. Then they're probably, like you said, they're going to blame him. Why? Because you're just so free going to random people's houses. But what made me laugh is when Terry was giving her speech, she was saying all these things, and in my head, the first thing that came to my head is, but can't you see your friend, your other friend,
literally,
who you're talking to?
What you're saying is what you're
acting crazy.
Something is like, not right.
Something's not right. So you're talking about Arabella, but you cannot see that something's not right with your friend for you to stop for 5 minutes and say,
are you okay?
I can't lie. Terry kind of annoyed me because it was like she was talking a lot and she's trying to be a really supportive friend, but she's doing a lot. She's doing too much. Like, you need to do it like this. Oh, but you should blah, blah, blah. Let people deal with things their own way. Don't force people.
Yeah. That's and what then when she was doing. When she said to Arabella, you're going to, I've forgotten the girl's name.
Thea.
Thea, yes. Yeah, she goes, you're going to see Thea. I can't let you do that. I mean.
But then if you look at the backstory, you can see why she was a bit like that. Like, we'll get into Thea later, but I just,
But like, she's like, I can't let you do
there
that.
There was always that girl in school though, wasn't there?
But I was just like, you can't really be telling your, like, you can't, your friend.
Cut to her to process something.
Process stuff. And that shows also that, you know, as much as, and it's a learning curve for me actually, a lot of my friends come to me because as much as I chat a lot, I am a good listener, believe it or not.
What?
what? But sometimes they may go to an unlikely source, and when they tell me, I'll be like, really? Like, yeah, literally, yeah. Like, why? Yeah. But when they give you the backstory, you understand why, because someone else has gone through that experience, or they just need a different perspective, or they need someone that doesn't know them on a deep level to tell them what they need to tell them. And I kind of also felt that for Terry, look, Teresa and Terry, we might be the same person, not really, but I kind of felt that Terry, there was that slight jealous streak in her. She's like, we're best friends,
she's got other friends,
you're going,
we
did
that from episode one. Every time she's saying she's going somewhere, jealous. She's doing something, she gets jealous. But don't you think her way of reacting now is her feeling like she has failed her friend in a way? Not failed, but in terms of there's a little bit of guilt there, like, I should have been there for her at that time.
Yeah, it's
more protection. But in protection, isn't there a bit of guilt though?
No.
Don't you think that?
No, I don't think so. Because I want to protect my kids all the time. I don't feel, what did you say?
But when they hurt themselves, don't you feel guilty though? When you hurt them, when they've hurt themselves, sorry?
I told you not to jump, today a crime. I don't feel bad in that sense, because I've tried to prevent you.
Yeah, but then Terry didn't say to her, don't get raped, then it should go raped.
No, but she didn't tell her to do anything she chose to do.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, even when you haven't told your kids to do something, and they've done it, and they've hurt themselves, and maybe your back was turned for a minute, and you want to protect them.
Because you were there.
That's what I'm saying, you feel bad.
But you feel bad different, though. For that's me different. Personally, I am on Paulina's side on this. If I'm in a room with my kids and I say, for example, they're sitting on a ledge or something high, and I know they're sitting on a ledge, I instantly know that they could fall. So if I don't tell them to get down and they fall, I feel bad because I know that I could have protected, I could have stopped that from happening.
Yeah,
obviously, you can't protect your friend from getting raped or whatever because you're not with them at the same time. You feel sorry for them because it's like, shit, why did this happen to my friend? Obviously, but I can't.
I feel bad because she was supposed to, remember, she said she couldn't come out because she was going for her audition, and then she called her again and it had happened. She went to the audition after it had happened, so she felt kind of bad that happened and she didn't know. And then when she was writing as well, they were supposed to go somewhere together, I forgot, but I feel like I would have felt bad, not in the sense that I feel guilty, oh my gosh, I should have protected her, like, we're all adults,
like, anything happens to anyone, so in that regard I agree with you that you will feel bad for your friend.
You wouldn't feel guilty.
That's what I said, a little bit of guilt.
Guilt. Okay, she didn't know she was going out. She said she was staying home to do her work. She went out. She chose to go out, and she's like, "Oh, you went out with Simon. Oh my gosh, why didn't you?" She didn't. She couldn't have predicted that was going to happen to her. She can't feel guilty because if she was out with her and that happened, she would feel guilty.
I get that. That's what I was trying to say. That okay, I get.
Yeah, she was there.
That's what I'm saying. I get what you guys are saying. So maybe not guilt. I should have said, don't you think it's a little bit of her feeling bad? So
you feel bad for your friend. 100%, you'll feel bad for your friend.
Yeah.
But we then see that Arabella finds an unlikely ally, this lady called Theo, when you first meet her. And you know what? The acting is superb, because when they first introduced Theo,
even the doubles that they use, the kids, I was like, yeah, it's not far off.
But when we first get introduced to the adult Theo, I was thinking, what a bitch. She's actually here. Not bitch like you're meat, but she was cold. And then at the end, she like her speech
was a
bit
cold.
Yeah. Yeah, but before we get into the backstory, I was thinking, mm-hmm. this girl has come to this person that does not have this warm energy, and then they shock you with the whole.
But would you have warm energy with people like you're in a support group?
Yeah, but you're leading a support group.
Yeah, but you can't, if you are a victim of something and that's how you've processed it, you can't expect someone to be coming to a support group like, hi guys, great, so you're hitting your... I don't think she came with that energy, it would have counteracted what she's actually there for.
I think I don't know if I'm speaking for you, T, but I think I would think from that scene is there needs to be some warmth, because these girls are coming into a circle to feel warmth. Yes,
we are tag teaming each other this week.
Even though, like for me, if I'm going to somewhere to feel better, to feel open, that I can talk to people, you don't have to be cold. You don't have to be, oh my gosh, yeah, hi girls, I'm just saying. You come in, you be a bit more like, you know, no, I've been through it. Like there needs to be a bit of softness. She wasn't soft at all. It was just cold. Like,
no, she didn't appear soft.
Yeah, but think about it, there's 8 different people. You can't, I don't think you can be that like that. Especially with someone's first time coming in and blah, 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 blah.
You could be soft.
No, but it's her experience. So she's explaining it from what she's gone through. And then as you get into it, you see more of her. But I don't think you need to, on the first basis, that she should have been any different than to what she was, personally.
Literally started off with, and it was very monotone, and welcome to the... And she even said it herself, and that was... That warmed
I may
her.
Sound cold. I may sound cold, but cold, I'm not a bitch. I'm nice.
But I'm really nice. Deep down inside, I'm really nice at heart. And when she first introduced herself, that's what the first thing she said. And I was thinking, are you really? And then we see her childhood. And then it all makes sense. And it all ties into everything. And that's what's so beautiful about this whole thing. Because when she says it at the end, it made perfect sense. I may sound like I'm a cold bitch, but I'm a really nice person inside.
Yeah.
So on that note.
But this is why I feel like that's why she came like that. Because that's who she is.
Mm. Yeah, and I agree with that. But okay. I agree with what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I do think, regardless of your experience, if some people are coming to seek some sort of solace or some sort of I don't know, they want some outlet. I ain't trying to go to any support group, whether it's rape, alcohol, anonymous, drugs, anonymous, narcotics, anonymous, whatever. And the first thing I see is, yeah, so this is I'm not saying that you need to be off on one and be like, hi guys.
What would you expect?
Just a little bit soft.
Hello. Let me feel, because sometimes you're hurting so much. And we even see it in Arabella's, when she decides to talk about her experience. It was like, there was so much pain. I'm not going to lie. I got teary-eyed when she started talking about it and saying, look, twice, I'm here to know understand, how not to understand. I got teary-eyed. And I mean, if she was opening... of me going to a group, I'll be like, yes, I'm here. Someone feels my pain. Like, I there's something there.
You can relate.
I couldn't relate to that woman.
But what I'm saying is, not everybody would come wanting that. So it's better to be monotone than to be one way or the other. Then you get the feel of the room, and then you go from there, which is what happened in the episode. That's what I
feel
like.
Which I get, but then I
mean, we could talk about this all day and just
but just before we go, I'm just thinking back to that episode, and I kind of see where you're going, Paulina, because I think that it partly is her personality. Because even when her and Arabella hugged, it wasn't like, come here girl, it was like, all right, cool. She didn't get teary-eyed with like, oh
yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just like, we've been through a lot. Like, we've got a lot to talk about. But
so
yeah, that was an interesting...
Yeah, so let's move on to the fact...
Terry.
Yeah, so what I was saying before, going back to it, was... I like how life comes like 360, because you never actually know when you'll need that person again, or where you'll have something in common with that person that you never really spoke to before. Because a lot of people have their experiences at home. You go to school, you come home, nobody knows what's going on, especially back in those days. No one had Instagram to be telling them what they ate for dinner. You were going home and you're in your world at home. So this was that girl's reality. She was, I don't actually understand, I didn't understand fully, like, was it that she was abused? That she was raped by her dad?
She wasn't, she was exploited by her mum. No, yeah, her mum made her lie.
But then the stepdad also said, I can't believe you would lie.
So basically,
when you've been through an experience yourself.
No, but so she hadn't been. That's what she was explaining, that her mum made her lie. That when she was seven, that's what she goes, my dad never touched me. And then she goes, my mum made me lie.
No,
you can see from the mum's reaction that it wasn't a lie.
That the mum actually made her lie. At dinner, at breakfast.
No. This one was more of a, she kept going, it wasn't like that. Who says it wasn't like that? You just say, she's lying. You know, you don't say it wasn't like that. No, when someone says it wasn't like that, for me, when someone says it wasn't like that, it sounds like an opening to,
if your child got raped, your child got raped.
Yeah. What do you mean it wasn't like that?
It wasn't like that.
The girl telling you you lied because you had no bruises on you. You said dad beat you. You had no bruises. She goes, it wasn't like that. I'm sorry. If my child's lying and saying that, I'll be like, listen, yeah, it's a lie. Get to your room now. It's not. It wasn't like that.
You can tell she hasn't got control of her daughter like that. You can tell.
No, but I think I think
we know why.
I think Theo is a good person deep down inside. I do think deep down inside. Hold on a second. I do think deep down inside she's a good person. But if you listen, words are so important. And when you were watching programs, well, we've got to listen to the words. When she was explaining that whole situation towards the end and said, you know, look what you've turned me into. That situation where her mum sexually exploited her, Paulina, to the point where her mum exposed her to certain things.
Shouldn't
know at seven. So in her head, she knows about being grabbed by the neck where she showed it. She knows about, I don't know what her mum.
She's curious. Curious mind now.
Yeah. So she knows about all of these things. She now thinks, and this is why it played out with her and Ryan, she now thinks it's okay to do things on a sexual nature to get what you want, because her mum told her that you got to say your dad did all XYZ, and then her mum got what she wanted. Her mum was able to get full custody. Her mum was able to leave her dad
as well.
Her mum was able to now get this rich man. So in her head, if you've grown up at 7 years old, and obviously these things go on for a long period of time, it's not a case of you just say these things and then you get
what you want. Your life, especially in school, social services,
the police, courts, all the rest of it. So that would have been months and months of trauma. That would have been months and months of her having to retell the story. That's something that's ingrained in her head. So as she's growing up now, she's thinking, oh, you know what, if I want something and it's to do with sex, I can get it by doing XYZ. And then you can see it. That's how she played it out with Ryan. She was like, you know what?
Sorry, can I touch on the Ryan thing? I don't think it was she wanted her. What did she want from him? She was going to get the money anyway. Like,
there was nothing. She's just bored.
There was nothing she was getting from that situation. That's why I don't.
He didn't offer her money initially, right?
He did.
No.
I think in the picture.
I think she thought it was a relationship. No. She didn't.
She thought it was a relationship.
It was a relationship thing.
So because she thought she was having sex with her.
Yeah.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. After the picture, he offered her money, right?
Right.
Her lying about what he realized did,
that he was actually just using her.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. So now she was
with a revenge, right?
Yeah,
what she did was revenge.
Bored, okay. Revenge.
So if we say that's revenge, yeah, she was young. It's revenge. Deep down, I'm not saying she's a bad person or anything. She's obviously is what her mom has turned her into, as you said. But for me, the reason why I said I was nervous is because I don't know if I fully trust her even now with Arabella, seeing what happened with her and Arabella in school.
I don't know why she's talking about abuse as if she'd been abused.
That's what we don't know what the rest of her backstory is, but I just don't know. There's something about the coldness and there's something about her eye. I don't know. It may not be anything, but I just don't know if I trust her with Arabella's situation at the moment.
She's been sexually exploited by her mum, we've got that. And because she's grown up knowing that sexual activities get you what you want to a degree, she knew that she'd be able to get the money. He offered her the money, but listen to what she did? She said, keep it after. So she's not a prostitute. She could have taken that money and ran and run. But in her, she could have. She told Ryan. She
did
literally
take the money, though, didn't she?
No, she took the money after the. Hold on, guys, let me finish.
Okay. They'd already done it.
No, they started doing it. Yeah. He then started taking pictures. She's saying, what are you doing? She said, no, she didn't give consent. So that's a consent issue, number one. She didn't give consent to take the pictures. That's number one. Then he was like, I'll give you money. I'll do whatever, or what you got. And he goes, I've got X amount of money. Then she started bartering with him, right? So he said he only had £10 or whatever it was. Then she said bartering with him. Then he found money. Then he was going to hand it to her. And then she said, no, give it to me after.
But is that not what happens normally? Because you said she's not a prostitute, but normally they give after anyway, don't they?
Yeah, but that's my whole point. Because in her head, sex gets you what you want because of such a young age. She's not thinking about if it was a case of she said no, she was not comfortable taking the pictures, right? So if she wasn't comfortable taking the pictures, she could have pretended and said, "All right, cool, give me the money." When he's given the money, she could have bolted out the door. No, but she knew that sex gets her somewhere with something. I'm probably not articulating.
It gives her some sort of power because it helped her mum.
Sex helped her mum get custody of the kids, regardless of the fact it didn't physically happen to her. Sex helped her mum get custody of the kids, right?
It's messed her up mentally, yeah.
But so mentally, she's thinking sex is going to help me get money from this boy, right? And she also wanted to have sex with him to a degree. So they did it. Then she felt bad about herself. Hence why she threw the phone, because she's thinking, oh, so this is what you lot are doing now. So you lot are using me as some sort of mug. She had sex with his friend. Then that's when he baited the friend up and said, oh, I've forgotten the guy's name, but he said that you were on it. And she was thinking, oh, so you lot are actually using me. Like my mum used
me. Yeah, because she must have felt like every interaction physically in the relationship, but it's not.
Right.
It's just then what you can get.
She got what she wanted to a degree. She wasn't happy with it. Hence why she threw the phone away. That's my take on the thing.
But going off what you said, and then for her to then twist it and then be like, oh.
That was the revenge
at
bit.
Knife point.
Right. Yeah. But that was the revenge bit. It's almost a sinister way of what Arabella did to Zayn, because in her head she's thinking, you lot are mugging me, you lot want to take pictures, you want to laugh at me, you lot want to do all these and get what you want, but what do I want? She probably wanted a relationship with this Ryan guy. He wasn't really on it, so she's thinking, you know what, beep beep you lot. And so she threw his phone, and then she's thinking, I'm gonna get you guys. Hence why she did what she did, which was deep.
Because a lot of these, it's sad, people do lie about being abused or attacked. It's just the fact that he had photo evidence that proved. So she must have been that girl that was always known to just be like a liar, causing trouble. That's why Arabella and Perry went.
Lie. Yeah. It's the blood. It's the blood.
Yeah, that's why they thought, oh no, we need to help him out because that's our friend. One. I can't imagine. They're basically saying he's not got two brain cells to even think about doing that to someone. So I feel like, yeah, that's why they thought this girl is not. That's probably why Terry thought she's not serious, because remember what she did at school and what we had to do. So yeah. I can see why Terry was a bit different and protective over her going to meet this girl. But yeah, I feel like it was very good to bring it up.
Also, underneath it all, and subconsciously, and maybe I was watching it too deep, I kind of felt like it touched on Black Lives Matter. It was like, we've got to stick together. We've got to help our brother out, because this girl, and it did a little bit, because
that's how it was like in secondary school. I don't know about your secondary, but for me in secondary school it was a bit like that as well.
No, it was a bit like that in my secondary school.
It was a bit like what, yeah, black people stick out. Yeah, kind of, not necessarily, but kind of. It was like that. Yeah, kind of. It was like that. So for me, that whole episode was so, it was nostalgic. Like even the just do it bags, I was like, I had a lilac one that went everywhere with me. I was like,
Roman Road. When he mentioned Roman Road, I was thinking, everybody, you got your puffer jacket from Roman Road. You got fake kickers from Roman Road. Got school bags from Roman Road. You remember those school bags? Everyone had
the drawstring.
You had the drawstring, but you had those ones with the Velcro that you lifted up like
that. Yeah.
Like literally. Anything you want, you go Roman Road. You're fake.
I actually used to love stationery and new school shopping. I used to love
everyone looked forward to it.
Listen, the first term,
everyone's like, what are you bringing? What are you bringing? Yeah, I loved it.
I used to engrave my name in my pencil case and everything.
I appreciate the music, everything. Yeah, like everything was just nostalgic for people like in Ireland.
I just really appreciate the show because there's nothing she's done that's left unturned. There's no stone left unturned with the whole show. She's covering every aspect.
Yeah.
Down to the fact that she had a Nokia and was playing Snake and all that stuff.
I know.
Those tiny details were just great. Like, I really appreciate it.
But the lingo they were using though is more of slangs here. It's more of slangs now. Than slang then.
Still in the thing.
But they said butters, so I guess butters is more of our.
No one really says that now.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was more of our time, but there was the lingo was a bit too. That's the bit they missed.
But credit to the young actors because I kind of just felt that they were given their lines and would just say, just act like you're in school because it was just so assertive.
You're forgetting they acted. The black girl acted like Michaela. Terry acted like Terry.
It was amazing, and I loved the fact where. And Michaela literally gave her little speech. She was like, "We've got your back. We've got your back. There is spice in the alliance. It was hilarious.
What bit made me laugh? You know how you said it touched on the Black Lives Matter thing. You know they're talking about how the teacher reacted to Theo's accusation. She goes, "If I sneeze, it's a weapon of mass distraction." And talking about the girl that got hit by the book, I was laughing so hard. I was like, yes, okay, that episode is good. It was good.
And also, but can I just say, she's touching on every aspect, like not just abuse from someone raping, being raped, children being abused from mentally. Their parents, mental health. Like, it's just male rape.
You can relate to every. Someone can relate.
He's making
to
it relatable, and every episode a voice is relatable for all these people that have been in these situations who have not actually realized. Maybe, oh my god, it's just great. It's a great piece of writing.
And then you go into the caves, and then you come out of the caves. You know when they were deciphering whether or not to show the picture. The teacher.
Mm-hmm.
At the background, did you see the girl that was getting
beat up?
Right, that was getting beat up.
She was getting boxed. I was like, that's so happened.
You would literally be in the line, and then you'd just be like,
What happened?
My girl's getting beaten up. Yeah, because she cussed out that girl.
Can I say, if any of us in this room spoke to our parents the way Theo spoke to her mom in the beginning of the flashback, I was like,
yeah, but
go get yourself checked out. Yeah, I'm gonna help you. Yeah, all right, tomorrow.
I'm not trying to be funny, and I might be a bit controversial here, but we're African. Like, you just wouldn't happen.
The door. No, but you shut the door. No, even slamming it. You shut the door a bit too hard. You're in trouble. Let alone raise your voice to say something like that. You'll find yourself back.
That you sneaking out and coming back in the morning. Your mum is in your room waiting.
Like, you can't even sneak out.
Waiting on the stairs
in the sticks.
You wouldn't be able to even lie. What this show also highlighted for me is that young people need to be aware of these situations. They need to be aware of taking photos. They need to be aware of certain things that constitute as rape. Yeah. So I think that schools at this age, when you're 15, 16, when you're sexually active, or you're sexually more aware of yourself, this is the time where schools need to be teaching kids.
It does happen. That's what I was about to say. I agree with Paulina. It does happen in schools. There is the awareness there. The state guardian teams, maybe not teach, but they do have the awareness section where sometimes they do get sexual people that work in sexual education to come in and speak to them about it. Teachers raise it up. Safeguarding teams raise it up. They do actually talk to them about it because it does happen in schools. As much as we're talking about it now, it does actually happen in schools.
Fair enough.
Inappropriate
even
pictures,
now, inappropriate, oh my yeah, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, inappropriate Snapchat. Pictures, all of it still happens.
And all of it still you happens know this because you work in a school,
in a school,
you?
Yeah. So it does happen and they do try. But again, as Paulina said, it is the parents as well.
That's from home. You
know, it is the parents as well.
The thing is,
as much as it's sad, as much as we say it is parents, it is teachers, it is whatever, some kids are getting away with it because of the types of social media that are out there. I can't even begin to start to list to you the amount of things that we don't even know. And I didn't even know certain apps that existed till I worked in a school and I had to do my safeguarding training. Tinder for children, where you don't actually know things, apps that disappear on the phone. Yep.
Tinder for children to do what?
If you actually want to know, because there are parents that actually do these courses, there are safeguarding courses. I can't actually say give it out now, but there are safeguarding courses that actually sign yourself up to that will show you all the types of apps that are out there that can be hidden from a parent. It can
I'm having a tracker on my kid's really phone scary. Because you're not going to be doing I'm scared, but then
when I went on the training, I'm not even gonna lie, I was
my son's not having a phone core. How about that?
Listen, I didn't have a phone till I was
in year 11
17.
And my phone had a light torch.
You that said was in year 11 you said yeah, 11 you know. I was finishing and going to college.
I had my first phone when I was going to college. Yeah.
Me too.
And it was a brick Nokia. It was a brick Nokia.
Why had an antenna?
It had an antenna.
Yeah, me too. And then I got a job at John Lewis, and then I was able to save up. And then I think, my mom actually then felt sorry for me because she saw all my friends.
Then I got the Nokia.
And then she got me the Nokia with the slate. She got me the most updated version of the phone. All my friends
those
were like,
phones are so bad, but when you got it, you were like, oh my God.
When you got the flip ones, when you got flip ones, we were like, flip it.
Is it Sony? Is it Snowy? What is it? The Snowy Mini?
Samsung, isn't it?
Oh, do you remember the Sony MP3 one?
Yes!
Oh, do you remember sitting at the back of the bus making your ringtone?
I remember now everyone keeps their phone and vibrate. I don't know why. We used to want people to ring you so you can hear your ringtone.
So you can hear your ringtone. You know when you change your ringtone and you tell someone to call you 10 times. look what this episode has made us do.
Exactly. But touching back on the seriousness of this show, it's just made me realise or made me think about how I'm going to teach my boys. I've got two boys.
I'm putting chips in their bodies. I'm putting cameras on their phone. They're going to have secret cameras on their uniform.
Paulina's going to put cameras in their forehead at this rate.
I'm going to go to get you school uniform myself and I'll sit in the back of the classroom because I can't deal with
I'm just thinking about how my husband and I are going to teach our boys about
just don't talk to people. Go home.
And
you're not going out. That's how we're dealing with it.
Just respecting women is one thing. Because honestly, this show has taught me so much. Yeah. You know, I just get things happen sexually. Like you can go out, you can meet someone. I get things happen sexually, and I get you can be uncomfortable with certain things that happen when you're sexually intimate with someone. But for me, rape was bog standard. I don't want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
And that was penetrative.
And it goes both ways. It goes both ways as well. If you don't want it,
but do you know how many girls have consented and they still want to lie and say the person's done?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I need to teach my son both ways. I need to teach him consent when a woman or a girl tells you I don't want to do it, or they start behaving a certain way during it. Always ask them again. Are you okay? Do you want this to happen? And also, if you don't want it to happen, do not feel bullied into going through with it. If you feel bullied and you don't feel comfortable, do not let the woman pressure you to do it. It's both ways. But you have one,
and I agree with what you're saying. That's one side of it. But it's when they at that school age. Do you know what I mean? When things seem like fun, taking pictures of girls, you know, sticking your phone up skirts
this
and taking pictures of underwear,
what they're doing
all
on
of
their
these
phone.
Things but it's not I think it goes right back to what you said when what we discussed before. It is the training from home. It's not about what they do on their phones. It's literally we need to train you and say to you we can't do that. This is what you can't do before they go out into the world. And if we can, and at some point in life, if we drum that into their heads, they could become the best civilians and the best boys in the world. But obviously we've got people that they interact with. So
this is what my theory is. There's only so much you can do, and it's the outside influences that pollutes their minds. That's what freaks me out. So you have to be on board with knowing who your kids are friends with. You need to be friends with their parents.
Know
what kind of home they're going to be in.
Exactly.
If it means we're having dinner. And if I don't like that, my kid's not going to be
friends
with
your kids. That's exactly what my aunties did when she was raising me. Was I know all your friends. I know all their parents. I never had sleepovers. My first sleepover was when I was 18. I think about 18.
I know 18.
Later than that. My mom was like, look, go out, have your fun, but just come back home. Text me when you're coming home. Like, even when I was 8, this is when I was older. I'm gonna be the one
waking, staying up till 3 a.m. picking you up from the club.
When I'm in Ghana, when I'm in Ghana, tell. Like it was my mom used to drop, like when my sister was growing up in Ghana, my mom used to drop her to the party and say, look, I'm picking you up. You don't need to get a lift from anyone else. Tell me what time you want me to pick you up and I'll pick you up. This is when she was much older and able to go out. So, I mean, for me as a parent, thinking about when it gets to that stage, I probably will want to do the same in terms of, I know who your friends are.
I'm not going
to
lie, ladies.
I'll take you where you need to go and I'll pick you back up.
I think we have to change the subject because I'm getting stressed. Honestly, I can't cope with this conversation. My son's been saying, I can't, I'm getting
up. Literally. In my head, I'm raving with you lot in it. Like, I'm gonna be
mum. Oh, literally, you could bet mommy can go out. Oh, okay, where are we going?
You'll be too tired about raving. I'll be like, I'm coming to pick you up.
People be like, oh, who's that? It's like, oh, is that your sister? I'm like,
no, I don't need to hang out with you.
How we're gonna be best friends?
Listen,
okay?
girls, you're thinking about it like now.
No, please.
Our kids are so young, yeah.
Well, when we get to that stage. Well, the listeners, our kids are not even in double figures yet. We've literally just popped them out, but we're already thinking about what we're gonna do.
I'm going to be there because Caleb, my 1-year-old, he is going to be the one I'm going to be like, Caleb, come home now. And he's going to be airing my I'm going to have to put chips. That's literally, I don't know if it's legal, but I'm going to have to put some sort of microchip in.
Government will probably want to do that for you anyway.
I don't mind. Yeah. I need to know where your location
you
don't mind. Is.
See, I'll be too scared. See, I'm the opposite. I would be too scared to do any chippery of any chippery.
I would be scared.
If the government is making it, they've got those serial numbers. Stored somewhere.
Trust me. If I could keep my kids in my womb now as they are, I would.
Listen, I'll have to go and learn how to make my own electrodes and chips. I'm not buying no chips from no one.
Anyway, it's getting heavy.
Our listeners are thinking we're mad now.
Extreme anxiety.
Let's wrap up
this topic. But no, I really do appreciate Michaela's got excellent, exquisite, I don't even know if that's the right word to use, but she's got amazing writing skills and she's delivering this so well that I really appreciate it. So I'd recommend anyone to watch it. If you want to wait for the ball to come out, do so, but I really, really do appreciate it.
Because she educates you and entertains you.
Yeah, exactly. All at the same time.
Double E,
looking lovely at the same time.
We are going to move on to our guilty pleasure section, if I want to call it that. So I just want to do something a little fun. You know, I love a bit of Housewives. I know Therese loves a bit of Housewives. Oh, so if you are Housewives, I'm going to do it in American version, American accent.
Can you tell the people what Housewives is before? Tell the people what Housewives is.
So look, in my spare time, I'm not going to lie, I do like a bit of Housewives where they just literally are just women who've got too much money with no sense sitting there bitching about each other, But it's great. It makes great television. So I wanted to know what you guys' tagline would be. So I want to go last because I think mine is great.
I think I've got three.
Yeah, Sarifa, what would yours be?
I've got four
different ones. I couldn't think
of your choosing.
Oh, okay, but before you do it, it's a franchise, yeah? So you've got Real Housewives in America. You've got Orange County.
So which one are we
Atlanta,
Beverly Hills,
you've got Atlanta,
New Jersey,
but the Atlanta Australian. One is the best one, I think, and then Potomac comes afterwards. And then recently, Potomac.
Beverly Hills.
And then recently, Paulina alerted me to your house
of Johannesburg. That is trash. I'm not gonna lie. That one.
Can we literally talk about that after?
I didn't know people talk just like that in today's world.
I didn't check for it, honestly. So
I work on Hey You app, so I've got that app.
So I have a few, but I'm gonna start off with just two, and then once we're all done, maybe I'll throw a few in there. Listen, when these girls, when Paulina asked me to do this, I was like, what?
I do this all the time.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay, but the reason why we're doing it is because each episode or each series
they open with a tagline. Yeah,
with a tagline. So Sharifa and Paulina wants us to do it.
Sharifa never pop up, and they'll be like, "Yeah, okay, Sharifa goes."
So this is one I got. Don't laugh at me.
We should play some music.
I can't do it seriously now.
Okay, I'll take the lead then. Okay, go on. Hurry up.
Don't test my energy because I'll zen the hell out. Namaste. I didn't know what to say.
That is trash. Don't test my energy
because I will zen the hell out. Namaste.
That's not actually too bad, but that's a bit too wordy. We need it short and snappy. Okay, Sharifa, Tess, what would yours be?
If you were Housewife, Sharifa, which series would you be in?
What do you mean?
For example,
I'll be the Eva of ATL where I've been doing yoga. In terms of yoga and stuff, because the whole thing, my whole tagline was about positive energy.
She was all negative vibes, babes.
Okay, so I think I'd be either in the Beverly Hills one or Atlanta, and my strap line is, I ain't stressing because I got God's blessings.
Okay, so I've got my three, right? Never judge a book by its cover, because my book isn't finished yet. I may be the youngest of four, but nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh my God, you got issues.
Definitely get back up again.
Say again, sorry babe, I was talking, you need to say it again, please.
Okay, I'm trying to be serious here. I get knocked down, but I definitely get back up again.
Oh.
I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Okay, I've got one. If you don't want to get burned, stay out of my shade.
Stay out of my shade.
So they need to stay out of your
one,
shade.
You know that one British person they get on shows all the time?
Oh my gosh. I just love watching. It just takes me away from my like life because it's so trash. It's so dumb.
Mine at one point was Love and Hip Hop till it just got too much.
Me too.
Hollywood. It's just getting a bit too much. Hollywood, Miami. I think I held on to that one for a while.
They were getting I'm just tired of America. People's mentality in America is so like, I feel like it's so shallow that I just can't watch it anymore. Like, oh, you stole my man. Oh, look at my weed, my hair. Why are we arguing about those things?
That's the bit that I stopped. The reason why I stopped watching them is because it was like people were making money on stereotypical things they believe black people.
Baby mama drama.
Black people like in terms of drama. And I'm like, I'm feeding into that. Yes, it's my guilty watch, but I'm feeding into that because I'm watching it and I'm thinking it's all right. Like, do you get me? These two women are fighting because look, it was in New York ATL and Peter Guns was having how many children on the side? I was still sitting there going, oh my God.
He got a vasectomy and then she was When I saw a picture
of them two being friends, I was like, you know, look, yo, I'm out. I'm out. Because these people are treating me like a dickhead for watching this show.
Cardi B was the one that made them feel shame. She was like, you're making these beautiful women look like stupid idiots for chasing you? They were just like, what?
Listen, I do like me a bit of Jocelyn Hernandez though. I ain't gonna lie.
Stevie? Where's your maid? Molly the maid.
You know you can't hear me, Stevie. You know you can't hear me. You're gonna hear me. What? You ain't gonna get rid of me, Stevie. What?
So guys, listeners, I know we're having fun, if you guys send us an email to let us know what your guilty pleasures are and why, it will be good if we can shout you out and reread some of them to you as well. That would be quite good.
Just to briefly touch on this absolute trash, and I say trash, but I've watched both seasons. Real Housewives of Johannesburg. They are painting black women into such a negative light. All they were concerned about was, oh, look at my designer. Oh, I'm Queen Mrs. Versace. These people who are Versace want you to buy their designer with their old fashioned, you know, maybe potential racist selves. Why are they being all excited about the fact? Rich people do not talk about having money. They just have money. They just get on with it. They don't talk about the labels. You just see what they're wearing. They don't talk about it because they don't need to. These people are always like, oh, my Prada, my this, my Gucci. Oh, you see me, my Gucci? Oh, I couldn't deal with it.
It was a mother and the daughter.
So yeah, that was
Mercy. I forgot.
And Brunette. No, that's not her.
Brunette was a...
Just call her Madame.
Yeah, it is Madame. Brunette was the one...
I did not catch it.
Brunette was the one that they were trying to label as a prostitute. Oh, I don't know how she's marrying this man because she's had several relationships with
men. Yeah.
It's like, who hasn't had several relationships?
I can't lie. Oh, in their life. I can't stand because she kept saying it, Crystal. She
only white women.
But she kept like, oh, these people, you people, you people. And they're like, you need to stop saying that before you get slapped.
Exactly. I've never been to a traditional wedding in my life before. But anyway, guys, yeah, this is the Real Housewives segment. We just kind of thought that we'd touch on our guilty pleasures because it's been heavy the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, very heavy. It's still heavy.
But sometimes you just need to zone out and catch a few laughs and debrief.
So, yes. Yeah, so what has been happening?
Quite fun. I'm gonna think of another strap line.
Honestly, it's funny. Like me and my sister.
I'm gonna think of another show that's got a strap line and then we can make some up.
They don't really have strap lines, though, do they?
Some of them do. We just need to think about them.
Okay. It's true. Okay, so let's move on to how do we all feel about lockdown being quote unquote over?
To be honest, I think it was semi over a while ago when people were
everyone was like over it.
To Boris.
When Boris like, you can go out but stay home.
It was at that point. I think people didn't take him seriously before, but I think it was at that point people were just like, right, I'm going to continue doing what I can do and keep my family safe. I think that's the type of mentality I went with as well.
Because
I was like, really, what are you? You're giving us advice backed up with no science, backed up with nothing else, contradicting yourself. So it's like, who am I supposed to listen to? Like, you're not actually serious. So I think
but
that
people
was
are hanging on to the government to tell them what to do rather than use common sense.
So the government have said from the 4th of July, certain things will be open. So pubs and restaurants, but with only table service indoors. And owners have been asked to keep details of customers so they can contact tracing if other people are.
It's not worth COVID. Stay home and cook.
Which is crazy. Can you imagine?
Stay home and cook. Get your takeaway and stay in your house.
Not even takeaway. Are these people washing their hands? Go
hotel.
And stay home
but then there's no scientific evidence that it actually passes on onto food.
This was the best time to stay at home and learn how to cook.
Yeah.
You didn't need to be going out to eat. Rubbish.
Hotels and apartments can be open, theatres and music halls, but they have to. But they're not allowed to hold live performances. So why are you going to the theater?
No, because sometimes they need a stage, though. But they need the stage. They're gonna record it for people to actually watch a live stream.
Okay,
they still need a stage.
Some people want to, but that's some people's livelihood.
I get it. But you know what made me laugh the most, especially if you go to a charismatic church. It says places of worship can be open, but no singing allowed. So when I'm going to church and my choir can't sing, what are we meant to be doing? Especially if you go to a charismatic Pentecost, because spit, saliva, all that kind of
what's
stuff.
Talking, then?
But
the
preacher is preaching.
I don't get this one, Boris. So I could go to church, but my choir
sit silently.
No, the choir will be, you know, especially exactly African churches.
You'll get led by the spirit and then you'll forget yourself. That's what I'm saying.
And then you know all the black churches, all the Pentecostal churches, somebody is going to come and say, excuse me, Boris said that you can
but you're
not.
But who's going to hear her though? Who's going to hear her over the singing? She's going to hear or she will say that.
If you can't worship, she'll
be like, auntie, go and sit down.
It won't be a congregation member. It'll be some busybody called Nora that is walking past.
Karen.
Or Karen is going to walk past and say,
she doesn't even go to church.
Boris said.
I overheard my neighbours singing quite loudly.
The good thing about the whole COVID thing is that the millions of people that are shielding can actually spend more time with their family outside.
True.
We were doing that anyway, not going to lie.
In terms of vulnerable people as well.
Wink, wink.
If they come for you, please.
What?
I deny
the Paulina in the FGL community.
I did it. And what? I didn't go anywhere, really. I live with my family.
The people I feel sorry for the most are the vulnerable people, because yes, he's saying this, but people stopped listening to Boris a while ago. People were doing what they were doing. Some of the things I saw outside, I was like, are you serious? So what are the vulnerable people? The vulnerable people are going to be even worse now. They're not going to want to come out because it's even worse for them. Like,
the local Sainsbury's was, it's been empty initially at lockdown, and then it started getting bigger, busier and busier, busier. Now, the other day when I went, it's a queue to get into the car park because everybody's like, I'm doing what I need to do.
Yeah.
My thing is, I don't know why everyone's going crazy going shopping because there's nowhere to actually go still.
I mean, Dominic, no, because the weather's hot. I think because the weather's hot. But Dominic Cummins can drive 300 miles and say he's testing his eyesight with his sick wife.
He said he was testing his eyesight.
Yeah, he went to see his parents. I think it was his parents. They live 300 miles away. It was also his birthday or his wife's birthday. I can't remember. But then he said he was testing his eyesight because he was breaking the laws. If a top government minister can break the laws, and you know more about this virus than I do, me too, I'm going to live my life. Obviously, I'll be
sensible
and sensible about it, but I'm going to live my life. What I did find striking is...
to live with this anyway, really.
Yeah, is that as much as the R rate supposedly is going down, on Monday South Korea said they were experiencing a second wave of coronavirus, and that their numbers were
increasing,
going up,
but that's,
and that they were going to
real second wave is coming in the winter, not now.
Yeah they said
that's
November.
For us, but South November. Korea are already experiencing a second wave, and they're opening going borders. I read in the newspaper, I mean, it was The Guardian. I don't know if anyone reads The Guardian, but hey, they were saying that they were going to impose their social distance measures again. And also, there was a second wave in Israel again. So, you know.
And Israel had quite a high rate as well at one point.
And in Australia, there was an outbreak in Melbourne. When I say an outbreak, a high rate of people are now testing positive again in Melbourne. So,
it's definitely going to happen again anyway. Yeah.
It's a serious disease that we need to think about. But kids are going back to school. Do you know anyone whose kids went back to school the first week?
Yes. No. And for me, they've been like, this one mom's just so pleased of how they've done it. Like, they've checked temperatures. That was so nice. It was so peaceful. It was reassuring, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Like, obviously, for parents who need to have that break from their children, yes, but it's not worth potentially letting your child get sick because you just need a break. Or,
but then the thing is, the children don't really, they're not the vulnerable ones. Yeah. No, but I'm saying the children are not the ones you worry about the most. It's the vulnerable, it's mainly the vulnerable. And yes, some adults actually get it and they're all right. But
if one teacher gets it in the school, the whole school's got corona. So is it really worth it? Like, for me, I can't lie. Where my son kept saying, like, Mummy, I miss school. I miss my friends. I really want to go back to school. Like, I felt so bad. So that was my only thing that was pushing me for him to want to go back to school. Because, you tested, I spoke to you about it before, both of you. And you did raise about mental health. If he's asking to go back, then maybe let him go back and blah, blah, blah. But in the bigger scheme of things, right now, he's not doing anything different at school than he's doing at home. And going back to school, it's not going to be the same school environment he's going back to. So he's not going to have that same.
But the measures they experience
as well. Yeah, the measures they put in, they're not allowed to play with each other. You can't keep kids away from each other. They're not going to understand why they can't go near each other.
It's a bit different for me because I work in a secondary school, but the measures that they have put in place have been quite. It is quite good in terms of.
I'm sure it's
the
effective.
The kids will. It is effective because we've actually done a rundown. They've actually done a video that all students are going to see.
Children, so that's when they listen.
They listen. Secondary school will listen much more than.
The first thing my son said when they were talking about opening school was, "I can't wait to go and hug my friends." I was like, "Oh, well, this is so dumb."
I've got a 2-year-old that's not even in school yet that sees any child on road and says, "Oh, I give him a hug."
Do you know what's funny though, Joshua? Because he understands kind of what coronavirus is. He went to the park and that he was kind of playing alongside a child. And then the boy like kind of forgot himself and he came to touch Joshua. Joshua's like, "Why are you touching me? Don't touch me."
Yeah, that's like
so, so it's like, I don't know how don't to like, but he's not going but back till September, really.
But
realistically,
it's a catch 22 because I was thinking the same thing that my son's not going back to September. But at the same time, the school might be opening more places 1st of July. Part of me is like, you know what?
For 10 days.
Mate. Well, even if it's 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever it is, yeah, I'm thinking partly I want him to go back so that he understands it's going to be a new norm. Even if the school opens up in September, there are going to be certain things that are going to be in place that he is not going to be familiar with. So even if he went back for 10 days, maybe, who knows? I know it might stick in his head. Basically, I'd rather him go back now so that he can get familiar with the measures. I know it's only 10 days. He might forget over the summer, but at least then he's got it in his head that when he went to school, he's not allowed to do X, Y, Z. And he's gone into a school environment where there are not many people, because if there is going to be a second wave, he's already accustomed to how they, what they're doing, and then come September when they launch everybody in, it's going to be something completely different. Do you know what I mean?
So I want him to go back to have closure of reception before he goes to C1, because he struggled a little bit. Obviously, he was younger, but when he went to Montessori initially, and then he went to the school nursery, so he kind of struggled. He was like, "Where's all my people that I used to know? Where's my other teachers?" So I had to take him back to the Montessori to realize that they're still there, but you're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
And then he settled into school, and then when he got to reception, to nursery to reception. He's like, "Mommy, I want to go back to nursery. I don't like reception." And reception still led, play-led learning still, he didn't like that transition. So my worry is that he's going to go straight into year one, but he's not going to have the closure from being in reception, because he's had the same teacher in nursery and reception to then year one.
Is your school not doing a closure thing for them?
What do you mean?
Like, are they not setting up... I think some schools are setting up like... I don't know if it's teams or for each year. So the whole year group and their teacher will get to speak. It's like an end of day thing online, virtually online.
But then that might be a secondary school thing, because
maybe.
And every Monday we get a call from a school and he gets to speak to his old teacher. So he gets really excited to speak to her. Yeah. So she calls to see how we're doing. Because they're still calling, the ones that didn't go back, they're still calling just to check on how we are and stuff. So I feel like he's like, "I really miss my friends." And like, I can't explain to him. He knows I'm not stopping him from going, but I can't explain to him. He understands the coronavirus, and at the beginning he was quite scared to go out because he was like, "The coronavirus is outside." So he was very like becoming a bit reclusive, just to even go for a walk. He's like, "No."
Okay.
So I feel like he needs to go back to school just for that purpose. Yeah. But he doesn't have to. And I'm not going to let him anyway. Mm. And it's too late. They're not taking any more kids.
So therefore the deadline until September.
Basically, but unless his school did what your school's done, then he's staying at home, basically. Mm. Yeah.
So, hey.
So, yes, another topic that we can discuss. For me, I feel like this is linked to I May Destroy It, which is why I think it's even come up. But on Twitter, there have been allegations of male influencers, and they have been accused of sexual assaults, rapes, interactions, and like a whole list. And an anonymous list was going around, but people were like asking it to be sent to their DMs and stuff. So I think this goes back to what we were saying about
An anonymous list has been
So a list of names, a list of names has been curated by females who have claimed to have
anonymous females
to have been abused in some form by people that we are known, that we know about via social media and social network. And some of these men have come out and have been like, "I don't know why I'm on the list, but I take accountability," which makes no sense. And then some have just been completely silent, which is also making people think, "Why are you being silent on the issue?" But I feel like, I don't know if it's linked with I May Destroy, but I feel like it's highlighting to people like, "Oh my gosh, I've been in a situation, I didn't actually know this was what it was." And it's exposing a lot of things. But I think it goes back down to like the culture and the way people are these days in terms of their circle of friends. They do things because they discuss it in their group chats. They do it because they think it's impressive, or they do it and they don't actually know that they've done something that is classed as a sexual abuse or act or something like that. So I think it's actually quite shocking, because they've what they say is, anyone that you know and that they follow, if I know this person and they have been your abuser, let me know and I'll unfollow them. So some people just deactivated their socials accounts completely. Some haven't even been on social media since the list has come out. It's been quite a 2020 has done a lot for people this year, and it's holding a lot of people accountable for some actions. But a lot of people are saying, but they don't think anything's going to come of it. So yeah, I feel like that was something that for me was quite shocking, because there's names on there that I was like,
You know, maybe the show, it might be linked to the show, maybe the show has been able to give voice to certain people, but again, you don't, you know, the show highlights the other side of the dark side of it, when people are actually just like doing things to get people back. So I'm not trying to diminish anyone's thought process, but there's that we have to be careful that they're not people that just doing this. There will be girls out there that have definitely been assaulted, but we have to make sure and get as much evidence that some people are not on there doing things for the pure sake of doing it.
But it's mad that people say things on Twitter just for attention. even if it's not true, which is also mad.
Life in look itself. Look at Katie Hopkins. So, boy.
That devil will reincarnate herself. I don't know why they haven't deactivated her Instagram as well, because she's still there spreading hate on Instagram. And what blew my mind is the comments where people are like, oh, like they can't ever stop your voice, Katie. People are in support of this woman. Majority of them, WYT.
WYT.
Yes. The majority of the comments were from those.
Yeah, okay.
Just blows my mind how people could just even touch on that as well. You know how football has started again? And on the first of every match, isn't it, all the players are wearing Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
They had a Burnley match and somebody felt the need to spend money to hire a plane to fly over the stadium saying White Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the race debate too much this week, but it's just blowing my mind how dumb and ignorant people still are. It's like people want to feel oppressed so bad that they just can't grasp what the concept of this whole movement is. But it's another story.
But it's nice that on a major platform where it's shown on TV that they are literally highlighting it. So it was good. Mm-hmm. I know my household is a bit more livelier now that football's on.
My cousin's husband was recording him and he actually had tears and I was like, why are you crying? Because he's watching football again. All right. It was so funny. Yeah.
All the guys are happy now.
So, Sharifa,
they get away.
I know this is something close to your heart, so I'd like to open the floor to you to discuss another topic that was around this week about World Sickle Cell Day. So can you touch on it a bit more?
Yep. So we had World Sickle Cell Day on Friday, the 19th of June. So I know we are trying to spread awareness, so it's important for me to tell you what sickle cell is, because some people actually still don't know what sickle cell is. So sickle cell disease is the name of a group given to inherited health conditions that affect the red blood cells. So this is normally, so you normally get it from your parents if they're both carriers. And it is particularly common in African or Caribbean family backgrounds. So people with sickle cell disease produce unusual shaped red blood cell that can cause problems because blood cells are not getting enough oxygen and your blood vessels are not getting enough oxygen as well, so they're getting blocked. So what that will cause is a serious lifelong health condition that will cause extreme pain, which is called crisis. So although there are treatments that will help you manage that symptom, it can affect your daily life. So it's very, very, very important for you to check your genotype. And this can be done by either contacting your GP or contacting your local sickle cell centers. So if you do go on a foundation called Sickle Cell Society, they do have a page with all the information that you need to find out if you are a carrier, or if you do find out that you are having a child that's going to be sickle cell, they do give you information about how to understand what's going to happen, who to contact if you do need more information, and if you generally just need a focus group to just talk to about your experience and what you may experience once your child is born. So as I said, it is a serious thing. You do need to know your genotype. And if you're not a carrier, and let's say your partner is a carrier and your child turns out to be a carrier, it's important that you carry on that information to your child to make them aware that when they do get to the stage where they're older and they do want to start having a family, they do need to pass that information on to their partner. Their partner needs to get tested so they can be sure that this is not going to be passed on to their children. I haven't touched on everything that sickle cell is, so it may still not be clear to quite a few listeners listening, but as I said, check Sickle Cell Society. Their Instagram is Sickle Cell UK. I'm part of a foundation that's actually based in Ghana, but we are free to answer any of your questions as well. So my foundation is called Sickle Strong Warriors Foundation. So we will help answer any questions you have, but the best place to go is nhs.uk. If you do type sickle cell, it will have all the different sections. So it will tell you from what sickle cell is, where you can get screening, what type of treatments are out there, what to expect. It just breaks it all down for you, so you'll be able to be more informed. So Paulina, sorry, you had a question.
Yes, yeah, so my thing is, mm-hmm. Two questions actually. Mm. Do you need to have a conversation with someone that you're talking to or interested in or potentially having what blood type you are?
Yep.
And what are the blood types that you should avoid dating, basically?
So basically So my genotype, so it's called genotype. So my genotype is AA, right? I can end up with a sickle cell person if I want to, because then we will have carrier children, AS children. But then we need to make sure we let those children know not to be with someone else that's a carrier. So what you're avoiding is if you are a carrier, for instance, if you're AS, which is a genotype, so if you're a carrier, you are trying to avoid being with someone else that's a carrier, because there's more than 1 in 4 chance that your child, one of your children will be carrier, will have sickle cell. So that you have to have that conversation. Yeah. Of what is your genotype. But first and foremost, you need to know your genotype, because having that conversation is meaningless unless you know your genotype. Yeah. So if you're both unsure, if you're together and you're like, look, bam, we want to have kids, but we're both unsure what we are, best thing is go to your GP or your local sickle cell center and just say to them, look, we really want to do a genotype screening because I'm ready to have children. I do have carriers in my family, or I don't know if we have any carriers in my family and I do want to know. 10 out of 10 times they will offer you that screening. What I find that they do offer regularly in the UK is screening when you're pregnant. And for me, I'm like, you're already carrying that child. Do you get what I mean? There's that choice of you. That choice of you knowing whether you want to be with someone. Because I do know people that have gotten their screenings done with their partner, found out that they're both carriers, and some of them haven't actually carried on with the relationship, where some have carried on with the relationships and just said, look, we're going to take the chance. Or we're going to try and do IVF. Some people have the money to do that. You can actually do gene selection,
but
not in the UK. In the UK, they don't offer it in the UK. But they do. It's gene selection IVF, where they will genetically choose.
So for example, I don't have sickle cell. Mm-hmm. Their dad doesn't have sickle cell.
So, carrier. You don't have the sickle gene.
Where both our children don't have sickle cell, are they potential carriers of sickle cell for their children?
So that's what I mean. Do you know your genotype?
No, I don't.
That's
I need
it. So you need to know your genotype. So when you were pregnant, they could have screened you, and you could have a carrier.
They did screen me.
Did they ask you?
There's no trait of sickle cell.
You're not a trait.
Okay.
Their dad might be a carrier, so you won't know and he won't know till he gets himself checked. Or even if you don't want to go down that route, you could just get the kids checked as well.
My kids could be carriers of it potentially.
They potentially could be, so it's important for you to
know your blood type.
Blood group is totally
that's
different.
That's what I want to clarify.
Yeah, right. Blood group is totally different from genotype. Genotype is more of your DNA. So because people do get that misconception. They're like, oh, I know my blood group. I'm O positive. And I'm like, no. O positive is your blood group, your blood group. Whereas genetic is the actual, okay, then we're going to get too scientific, but it's two totally different things. And so you just need to know your genotype.
And does sickle cell affect different ethnic groups, or is it?
It's mainly African and Caribbean. Okay. Mainly African and Caribbean, African Americans as well. So it's just it's severe. It's chronic pain. I won't say constantly, because every sickle cell person is different. There's different triggers. So cold can be a trigger. Exhaustion can be a trigger. Stress can be a trigger. You can hit your elbow. Everyone else hits their elbow. Everyone else is fine. You go into crisis in your whole arm. Because remember, your blood is not giving out. It's not getting enough oxygen around the rest of your cells, because it's an unusual shape. So it's not able to hold that oxygen level as much as we people that don't have sickle cell can.
So say they hit their arm, they bleed out faster and they pass away? Is that more what it is?
No. It's not that they bleed out, they pass away. It's just chronic pain. You could get a chest infection. They'll get something called acute chest infection, where it's basically literally crisis in their chest. You could get crisis in your eye. You could get crisis anywhere in your body. And it's the worst pain you can ever imagine.
I've heard
it's worse
than childbirth.
I know someone that's had childbirth with no painkillers, and she was just like, is that it? Like, it was literally nothing compared to what you go through. And sometimes imagine your one part of your body is constantly in pain, That part of your body is dying down. So you find a lot of sickle cell people, some of them get necrosis of the hip, where they have to get hip replacement because they've had so much crisis in that hip bone. The hip bone is literally
worn away.
So then they need, so it's different things. Like, you don't die of sickle cell, it's just other adjacencies. Your body, your complications. So your body is drained and tired. But you do have sickle cell people that live up to 80. So again, it's just different things. In the past, they used to say even before they hit puberty, in the past.
Oh, wow.
But a lot through treatment, education, lifestyle, some live up to 80. I've met someone that's 86 and is sickle cell. I've met like someone that's late in their 60s and they had their last major crisis when they were 40 and then they were all right. Yeah. And then it's different. There's so many different things. There's fetal hemoglobin levels. There's medication that would increase
it. I'd love to know why it only affects African and ethnic groups. I'd love to know why. But that's a different topic.
There's loads of theories out there. There's loads of, I think, coming from, like, in terms of my foundation and, you know, as you girls know, my sister was sickle cell. So coming from that foundation, I try not to think about that aspect of things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because I find that a lot of people still don't understand. Like, and sometimes I wonder to myself, if my sister wasn't sickle cell, would I have known as much as I do now about it generally?
Probably not, because I have no one I know that has sickle cell.
Exactly.
Well, there's one person, but I'm not close to her to know
the ins and outs
like you do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, as I've said, it's a serious thing that in our Black community, especially places like in America and in parts of Africa, people are dying, you know, very easily. I mean, people go to hospital and they're asking for painkillers and people are not actually giving them any mind. You have loads of videos on Instagram of people. If you do want to know more about it, there's loads of people that have their pages dedicated to their journey of being a sickle cell warrior, as they call themselves, their journey. Some of them will video themselves in a hospital saying, look, I've asked for painkillers 6-7 hours ago. I'm in excruciating pain. The nurses are ignoring me. I've been there when my sister's been in a hospital and she's asked and she's like, look, like the last pain meds was supposed to given to her every 4-hour interval. And she's there 10 hours later, no medication. And my sister discharged herself sometimes to say, I'm just going to go home and sort it out with hot water bottles and deep heat.
That's sad.
I've seen it firsthand and it's not the nicest thing.
But thank you, because I had no idea. So it's been really informative. And if you want to do more research,
NHS,
your friend, NHS UK, website.
And loads of foundations out there.
Just before we close as well, just to touch on what Teresa's sharing of the information, if anybody does have they want to speak to someone about anything to do with abuse or like helplines, there's a 24-hour helpline, which is open 365 days a year. Their contact number is 0808 802 1414 and their email is info@dsahelpline.org. So yes.
Yes, so it's been a good episode. We've had some good laughs. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.